thanks for joining us today. I've got a great message for you. Run to win. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 24. We're not people just beating the air. We're people that are committed to running in such a way as to get the prize. I'm looking forward to having you with us and believing God's going to really touch you today.
Good to see you. Great to be back from holidays and be with you today. I just heard a great story from our Geelong campus this morning. Pastor Jackie Hall was preaching down there, and one of our regular members has had a lump size of a golf ball on his neck. And this morning as she prayed, it instantly went, and in Jesus' name. How good is that? And you know, we talk when we travel. Well, I've been on holidays traveling, not preaching so much. But you know, when I was checking into my hotel in Honolulu, Hawaii, on Tuesday, I was checking in, and as I'm checking in, I hear this accent of this person next to me. It sounds like an Australian. So I turn to them and I say, "Are you an Australian?" And she says, "No, I'm from London." And I said, "Nah, you're an Australian." She goes, "Well, actually, I've been living in Melbourne for 3 years, but I'm trying to keep my London accent." And I said, and then she says, "Well, what do you do?" And I said, "Well, actually, I'm a pastor of a church in Melbourne." And she goes, "Really? Oh, that's interesting. Whereabouts?" And I said, "In South Melbourne." She goes, "Where in South Melbourne?" I said, "I don't know if you've ever seen a building called the Planet Shakers Centre, but that," she goes, "Yeah, I take my kids to Planet Kids Centre every second or third day. In fact, ask Josh Dudman," is what she said, and I did just now. And she said, "I was the first person to ever had a party in your building with my kids." And I said, "Well, have you been to our church?" She goes, no, I haven't been to your church." And then her husband came over and got talking to him. And I said, "You need to come to our church. I'm the business pastor," and he's an investment banker. And anyway, we got talking, and he said, "Well, when I get back from Honolulu, I'm going to come to your church, not just the kids' centre, we're going to come." I said, "The good thing is the kids' centre is free on Sunday as well, so come then." And she was like, "Really? I didn't know that. That's awesome." So how good is that? In a whole nother part of the world, somebody who literally lives in the apartment block across the street here was right next to me. What a God moment I believe that was. It's not just a fluke. But today, Happy New Year, by the way. It's great to be with you. We don't know where we've celebrated. You were all texting and Instagramming Happy New Year, and we were still waiting another 24 hours, basically. Leonie and I were talking yesterday, and she made this comment to me. She said, "Have you made a declaration or just a wish for 2016? And as I started to think about that, I started to ask the question, you know, do we just make a wish? Do we just hope something's going to happen? Or do we go into the year with that sense that God has put aside a great year for me? 2015, some of you might have been a terrible year. Some of you might have been a great year. Whatever the case may be, that is no longer. We are stepping into a new season, and I want you to declare over your life that God has an incredible 2016 for you. Probably one of the most momentous moments in Australian sporting history, but really it was more than just sport, is I don't know if you remember in year 2000, September 2000, it was September 25th, 2000, and a girl by the name of Kathy Freeman was going to run in the 400 metre final. Who can remember that? It's actually, as I went on the YouTube, I realised it's a world event. Obviously the Olympics is, but so many people were captivated by what happened. But in our nation, it was almost like the whole Olympics became about that race. And Pastor Russell, one of his signature messages about praise, talks about how, you know, I think it's hilarious, but he was at the airport and the bags kept going around because everybody was watching the race on the screens. And then they were all hugging each other. I love that story. But for me, I was just sitting at home by myself, and I remember watching it and standing up as she's getting towards the end and then starting to literally weep in my room. And I'm thinking, why am I weeping about a girl that I don't know, I've never seen, you know, live? And I was weeping, and I was all choked up in my throat. And today I want us to focus on this a little. So what I've done is I've actually got a video of this moment nearly 16 years ago. For all you old people here that think it was just a few weeks ago, Kathy Freeman, and I'm sorry, it's not the Bruce McAvaney version. I know, I'm disappointed. I was too, but I've searched the whole of YouTube and it's not there. So we've got some well-spoken Englishman that's commentating, so try and get past that, but let's watch the screens for a second.
Kathy Freeman was the face of the 2000 Olympic Games.
There was just a magical quality about that whole evening, just simply because Kathy Freeman was running for 49 seconds.
Turn it up.
Oh, you could feel the energy in the stadium. It was more than electric. I think everybody just was waiting for that gun to go.
Everything stopped.
I'd waited for so long and dreamt so much for this moment. And I'd already practically been there and done it in my own mind to the point where I was reduced to tears.
When Kathy Freeman ran, Australia held its breath. She had had a great rival who never made the starting gate. Marie-Jose Perec was followed by a huge media scrum everywhere she went, and she just couldn't take it anymore. Just days before the 400 heats, she mysteriously disappeared, left Sydney, and went home to France. And so, Kathy just couldn't lose now, could she? Australia couldn't afford her to.
I remember in my warm-up, I said the words, just do what I know. Four very simple, but really strong, powerful words, do what I know.
The women's 400-metre final underway.
When that gun went, all I can remember is being blinded by all the flash photography around the stadium. I mean, everybody wanted that moment in time to be captured.
Every competitor, every official, every judge just stopped and watched that whole race.
Freeman's going for it, and Lorraine Graham of Jamaica right up there too.
To perform under that kind of pressure in front of a home crowd is a very difficult thing to do.
The crowd roaring Freeman on, and the response is there.
And feeling like she's representing her people as well as representing Australia. It's a tremendous amount of pressure on her.
On the near side, it's Freeman.
And I thought she handled it incredibly.
Goal for Freeman.
I was completely taken up in this huge wave of emotion. I didn't know exactly what had just happened. I just knew that I'd achieved something I'd waited for so long for. I wasn't physically exhausted. I think I was more emotionally, wow, this is it. And then I was all of a sudden whammed straight in my face, 112,000 people making all of this noise. Oh yeah, that's right, I'm at the Olympics.
You know, that moment as I sat on my couch and I was crying, thinking, why am I crying? It was something that had been built up to that moment. We'd been watching her for years. She had obviously been training and practicing, and just do what you know to do is what she kept telling herself. And there was something in that moment for all of Australia that actually defined the spirit of what we are as Australians, I believe. And that's, we are winners. We actually want to win. We're not by nature people that are going to be held back. We actually believe that we've been put on the earth with a purpose and we're going to win. In fact, the Bible says that Jesus has already won the victory, and so we need to operate in that victory. So there's something that rises up in you when you watch something like that that says, yes, Lord. In 2016, would there be wins? Would there be things where people have been putting into action year upon year, and 2016 would be that year? Would it in our church be the year that is a breakout year where we see an outstanding thing take place, both here in Austin, Texas, in South Africa, in the campuses and all the things we do? Today, I want to talk to you about run to win. 2016 isn't just another year. You know, you might come to our church and almost get sick of the fact that we stand up the front and go, here's our latest album. This is the best album we've ever done. And every time we do one, we've always got the next best album. We've got a conference. We've got the best speakers you can ever imagine. But we're not up here just promoting something. We actually believe it, because the Bible says that His mercies are new every morning. Great is His faithfulness. We serve a faithful God who I believe wants us to win. He wants us to be the head and not the tail. He wants us to end up on top. So church, we got to go into 2016 with a sense of, it's not what was, it's what is God has for us, and we're believing this is going to be our best year yet. In 1 Corinthians 9 verse 24, it says this, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. So run to win. You know, in the NIV version, it says, in such a way, run in such a way as to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. So I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified. Run to win. Now, you might not believe it looking at my body today, but the truth is that I started out as a first-class runner. In grade one, I actually was a very good 400 meter runner. So much so that I used to go to Little Athletics two or three times a week, and on Saturdays go to special meets. And then what happened was that our school, carnival came up, and I was actually 6 years of age. And so I went in the 400 meter race, and I won my heat, and then I won my final, and then I got into the final, and I actually got the fastest time for every kid in the school under the age of 10 in the 400 meters. And then I got a trophy, and I thought I was pretty good. And then I got invited to represent our school in the under 10s category in the whole state championships. I went to a place called Perry Lake Stadium, which is where they had run the Commonwealth Games, the best, most elite track in our state at that time. And I was pretty excited about it. But you know, even at that young age, there was something in here that wanted to win. I didn't go to that. You know, to be honest, I'm probably politically incorrect for a moment, but to be honest, I hate all this talk about, let's just put the kids out there and have fun. Let's not get them to win a prize. Please. There's something in all of us that wants to win. There's something in all of us that wants to be the head and not the tail. And you know why we do it? Because we want to manage expectation. Come on, let's have expectation that we're going to win. Let's have expectation that we're going to succeed, that God is going to go before us. If He is for us, who can be against us? And so right at that age, there was this inert thing in me that said, I want to win. So I got my running suit out, my hood. Not really. That was like 45 years ago. I don't think they existed. Thank God, because you know what I think about those riding pants and stuff, so I didn't want to wear that stuff. But anyway, I got into my lane six. I got in the heat. I won the heat. I got into my finals. I won the finals. I got to the final of all the under 10s in my state. I was a six-year-old, the youngest actually in the final. And I was in lane six, and I started to run. Gun went off and I was running. And at about the 200 meter mark, I suddenly had this thought. Where's everybody else? I couldn't see anybody. I looked to my right and my left. There was nobody there. And I was thinking, man, I am killing the pack here. I mean, I am the best in the land. I'm the youngest. I'm the best. I felt like David, you know. And anyway, I was out in front. And suddenly I had these thoughts. Where is everybody? And at that stage, I was probably a little bit immature, not understanding that the fundamental thing about running is you always keep your gaze on where you're going. You never look back. And there was a moment at the 200 meter line where I couldn't wait any longer. So as I did, I realized that they were right there. And not only were they right there, by the time I got to 400 meters, I came fourth. Now you might say fourth is good. No, it's not. Fourth was not good. I didn't even get a medal. I got to sit and cry while everybody else stood on the dais and received their medals. That's history now. I'm over it. But the truth is, I looked back. 2015 may have been tough. 2014 may have been tough. But the truth is that you can't change what has happened. You can't go back there. So what the enemy always causes us to do is to look back at our past failings. Look back at our insecurities and the areas in which we didn't make it. Those voices that said, you shouldn't have done that. You shouldn't have been in that place. The mistake that we made. And if we're not careful, we can have our whole life looking over our shoulder, looking back and not running towards the prize that God has waiting for each one of us. In 2016, I want to urge each one of you, don't live with the looking back mentality. Don't look back and say, well, what could have been? Start looking forward and say, what can be? God what do you have for me? What is it that you've purposed for me? Isaiah chapter 43. Look here in verse 18, it says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Oh, I love that. Serving God, we can make a mistake. We can do things wrong. But if we get before Him and we ask for His forgiveness, He brings a whole new day. He clears the past and we can step into the future. And I want us to understand that 2016, oh, great privilege it is to preach on this day, the first Sunday of 2016. But I want to inspire you to recognize it's not time to look back, but it's time to look at all the opportunity God has ahead of you. Philippians 3, verse 13. To 14 says, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us to. This is going to be a great year. Run to win. Don't look back. Look at what God has purposed for you and step into it. But in a race, this scripture says, all the runners run to win. So does that mean that we're actually competing against each other? Does that mean that we're pitted against each other? Like, God, pick me. And this year be my year and to you, you know? And we're Christian, but we still have an element of that sometimes. Well, others do, I don't. But, you know, I've seen that in people. And the reality is that we've got to recognize that we serve a God that doesn't think like that. He wants you to understand that there's a race that He's put aside for each and every one of you. So you've got your own race to run. In fact, you could put it another way. There's a whole heap of lanes and you have a lane that He has purpose for you and you just got to stick in your lane, not get concerned with what other people are doing. It's easy to compare yourself with others and say, as a preacher, I could say, I preached on that stage. I met that person. I was involved in this part. But the truth is that I am purposed to do what God has gifted me to do. So I need to recognize my lane and run in it. Stay in your lane. Have the courage to know who you are and do it incredibly well. Ask yourself, what is my lane? Right here at the beginning of the year, what is my lane? What is my measure? What is my unique gift that God has given me? Rather than just making some whimsical, oh, this year I want to lose 35 kilos and I'm not going to eat any carbs. Well, it's now the 3rd of January and some of you are already eating those carbs. What about sugar? I'm not having any sugar. That's the latest thing. I'm not having any sugar. I know the feeling. But that bucket of ice cream in the fridge at 11 o'clock last night was just too much. I wasn't here at 11 o'clock, so it wasn't me. But some of you, I could see it was you. But you see, if we just make a request, a wish. Now, we need to declare God's purposes over our lives. We need to ask Him. Proverbs 18 verse 16 says, a man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men. I've told this story before, but Pastor Russell was asked to go to a meeting here in the city for the Israeli Chamber of Commerce. Basically, the Israeli Chamber of Commerce is a group of primarily Jewish business people that get together and do trade. And really, it's like a massive networking event. We didn't really know that. And Pastor Russell wasn't actually going to be in town. So he said, could you go on my behalf? And I've learned that, you know, now I've learned that nothing is by chance. Nothing is by chance. If you live in your lane, you'll step into what God has for you. Stop looking at other people's lane and thinking it's better. If you live in your lane, it's got all that you require in it. So I go to this thing and I've got my suit and tie on and I walk in and I don't know anybody pretty much. And we've been invited at that stage. If you remember, we were asked to we were looking at a block of land in the Docklands. Oh, don't open that up for me. That's going back. I can feel the pain now. But anyway, but there was this state government department developing land and opportunities all over. And so they invited us to come. So there was only one table in that room that wasn't like a business table of primarily Jewish-owned businesses. And it was this government department that owned land. Now, Jewish people understand opportunity. And so they knew that this table of people were the influencers relating to property available throughout the state. And I was on the table. Now, I didn't have a tag in front of my name. Nobody knew who I was. And I didn't really let anybody know who I was. I just sat there and
I'm telling you, that day I probably got 50, 60, 100, I don't know how many, but cards. I got business cards coming out of people giving them to me. Oh, it's so good to meet you. It's such a pleasure. Here's a card. Anytime, ring me. I'm like, okay, I will. They didn't ask who I was, so I wasn't lying or anything. And they're just giving me their cards. They're thinking I'm one of these government guys. And I got some cards. And I didn't just get the card. You business people know what I'm talking about. The card that's the I don't like you card. Here's my office address and a phone number that's bogus and I never use. I'm talking about the card that gives you a personal cell number and, you know, all that stuff. And so here I was getting, and then suddenly I'm sitting at this table and there's about 12 people at the table and a man across the other side of the table says, I wonder whether Neil could actually tell us about planet shakers. Now, you know, in that room, with those group of people, from my background and the things that I enjoyed doing, that was like my lane. I was enjoying that moment. When he said to me, would you tell, I didn't even know who the guy was. He knew me, but I didn't know him. It was like, wow, they've been spying on us. And he said, could you tell them all the good work you do here, but also overseas, all that stuff? So I said, sure. But in that moment, I had the choice of going, oh, what do I say now? Imagine if I came out to the crowd and I picked, you know, like one of you, said, come up here, 5 minutes. You know, some of you would be like, ah, it's not your lane. But for me, I'm in this room and I'm energized by this moment. And I don't know what I said, but I know that I said a lot in 5 minutes because that is my purpose, to be able to speak fast when you get a short moment. not really. But you see, in that moment of influence, some people would have been, you know, hugely intimidated and, but not myself, because I believe that's what I'm purposed to do. I actually, in that moment, thrived. I actually expanded. And in your lane, I know you do as well. Whether it be in the local school, whether it be in your workplace, whether it be in that family setting, whatever the case may be, when somebody needs to be prayed for when they're sick, if you're in your lane, oh, you come alive and you set into what God has purposed for you. We need to be people that understand that we're called to run, to win in such a way, not looking back, but stepping into our lane. But look at this. In this passage, it says, so I run with the purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete training to do what I should. You see, we need to recognize that we can be in a lane, but some people are in a lane. And if you're doing nothing in the lane, guess what? You're just standing in the lane. You're supposed to be running in the lane. So some of you need to, in 2016, increase your skills and your abilities. You need to actually develop yourself. David was out in the field and he wasn't out there going, I hope one day I get a chance to play my guitar, you know, before the king. But I'm never going to play it. It's on the floor there. God, you're going to do something for me. No, every day he was playing that thing. It was a harp, actually. But he was playing that thing every day. And when the moment came, he was ready for his moment. The question is, are you ready for your moment? Because some of us live with a pipe dream in our head of what we're going to do, but we need to be people that prepare ourselves so in our moment, we're ready. We're ready to run. You see, these athletes, Kathy Freeman didn't just go, I want to go to the Olympics. It's my right to go to the Olympics. Represent Australia. I'm going to put on this hooded thing and make you all proud. But if she'd got out there and never done any training, we would have gone, what a lemon. What is her problem? But we were proud of her because of all those years of work. That discipline culminated in that moment that set up for the rest of her life. You see, why is it so important that we find, you know, our gift, our measure? Why is it that we run in our lane? Because honestly, this is how we're actually going to show Jesus to the earth. Our primary objective is to make Jesus famous. But some of us think that it's just going to happen one day. In the great rafters in a prayer meeting a few months ago. And I'm walking up and down. If you ever come to our staff prayer meetings, I just want to encourage you, you've got to walk in a certain way. Okay? I don't mean a certain way, like, although Andy does walk like that. I'm talking about, oh, sorry, you're hearing it, Pastor Andy, sorry. And anyway, and so, you know, we walk like this, but sometimes we have, like, probably at the beginning of the new year, you get a new staff member or a visitor or something. They come into the building. Our prayer room is long. They walk across the narrow part. It's like, are you joking? This isn't supposed to be a minefield. You know, and you're trying to go around these people. I've taken it on myself as the self-appointed tell people, you don't pray that way. If you're new, walk that way. Anyway, I was praying one day and I'm walking and I see BJ and he's got his eyes open. Have you ever seen BJ? It's a bit like, oh, BJ's here as well. Wow, I'm paying out everybody today. But he's like in this like mystical stare. And I'm like, I felt like saying, BJ, we're praying. What are you doing? He's daydreaming about that new BMW or something. And anyway, we're walking up and down and I keep looking at him. And then suddenly he pulls out his phone. I'm like, you're texting in a print. What is your problem? But then I see him doing something really random. He's got like this. Like, wow. I didn't know what his problem was. And then I realize, I went up to him. I said, what are you doing? He goes, oh, I've got a song. I'm like, oh, great. Awesome. He's got an app and he's actually singing into it because he doesn't want to forget the song. It's come to him. But you need to understand, he doesn't sit down and write a song. The song finds him. I didn't end up in that room because I'm great. I ended up in that room because that's my purpose. And you need to recognize that you don't make it happen. You prepare yourself, but God brings it to you. See, these guys don't write songs. Songs come to them. And then God uses them to be the instrument that he has purposed. But the reason that he can is because they practice and they get their guitars and they play their keyboards and they sing and they worship and they're prepared for when the moment comes, God can use that instrument. And I want to encourage you, get disciplined. 2016, don't just expect it to come. I'm going to declare that I'm going to get $1 million. Well, good, keep declaring it. And I believe we can. But I believe we should be people of discipline that actually position ourselves so that God can come and bless us. You know, interestingly, in John chapter 17, verse 22, it says, I'm given the glory of God by Jesus to manifest his glory in the earth. That word glory, the synonym of the word glory is actually excellence. So in essence, what we need to understand, if we're going to manifest God's presence, we need to be excellent in what we do. Excellence actually puts us before kings. We need to recognize that excellence is the way that God is going to use us. So we got to become the best in our field. We got to become the best in our gift. We got to keep developing ourselves, learning and growing, and keep increasing our influence, bringing glory to God. Mother Teresa was an incredible woman. We all know her for poverty relief. She lived in the slums in India. But one of the controversies at her death was the fact that they believed she had somewhere around about $30 million in bank accounts. People said, how can that be? But what she discovered is once she won the Nobel Peace Prize, which comes with a $1 million check, she suddenly thought, if I've got a $1 million check, I can do more to relieve poverty in India than I can just helping the people that are around me. So for up to 6 months a year after that, she would take children and she'd tour the Western world and she raised millions and millions of dollars to help her cause go further. She didn't just rest back and say, well, this is what I've got to do and this is all I'm going to do. I'm going to increase my measure so that I can be even more impacting and bring more glory and honor to my God. Usain Bolt, think about it. He's dedicated his whole life to 9:10 seconds. That's basically all his whole life is about, winning a race that goes for 9 to 10 seconds. And that's all he does. But because he's in his lane doing what he was purposed to do, all sorts of opportunities have opened up for him. I don't get up on the stage and try and sing. You want to be thankful for that. But you know what? Behind the scenes, I do all sorts of deals and I meet up with different people and I create opportunities because that's my lane. And if we all run in our God-given lane, we might just win a city for the purposes of God. We might just change nations as we stand together. We might actually bring an impact. But rather than just being consumed with me, we can actually be consumed with what God's purpose is for each one of us. And collectively, we could bring change to nations. Have the courage to run in your lane. 1 Corinthians 9:24 again says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize. Run to win. Run to win. This is the year of the win. I'm declaring it over each one of you. We're going to dust off what was in the past. We're going to get into our lane and recognize that this is our year. We're going to win and we're going to win and we're going to win. God has already purposed that the victory is ours. It's time for us to develop a winning mentality, renewed thinking. Have you made a declaration or just a wish? Because even if you've just made a wish, I'm going to declare over your life greatness. I'm going to declare over your life 2016, the best year that you've ever had. Declare based on what God has given you, your gift, your talent, your ability, your measure. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What do you think in your heart? It's not what God thinks of you that's limiting you. It's what you think of yourself. Today you need to change that mentality and step into what God has. A king thinks, I'm going to get it all. I inherit it. I don't have to work for it. It's gifted to me. But a ruler, a dictator, a manipulator thinks, I'm going to work hard and I'm going to steal it from everybody else. It's a whole different mentality. Hey, we're sons and daughters of the King of Kings. And we got to recognize that we have the opportunity, the right to stand up and say, God, you've got it all, and it all therefore belongs to me, and I'm going to step in it, I'm going to walk in it, I'm going to operate in what you've already gifted to me. Think like a king. Declare like a king. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. I'm not going to wish in 2016. I'm going to declare God's promises. What you call it, it will become. What you call it, it will become. I believe I'm called to disciple leaders of corporations. Notice that, not just to lead them or influence them or motivate them, but to disciple. God gave me this word just a few weeks ago. In fact, when I was preaching here a few weeks ago, I said it's about discipling nations, and it's just come alive in me. I believe I'm called to disciple corporate nations. Disciple leaders of city presencing and changing churches. Disciple leaders of nations. That's my lane. But it's not yours. What's your lane? But you see, we have an individual lane, but we also have a collective lane. We collectively declare rapid growth in our church on every front. We declare rapid growth in our departments, that the youth camp just about to happen is going to be the start of something that's going to explode. Not just a youth group touching the thousand, but what about the tens of thousands where venues aren't big enough? You know, we're going to see thousands upon thousands upon thousands, 10,000s get saved in 2016. Greater influence in our city and cities on the earth. Everywhere our foot treads, believing is ours in 2016. We declare the miraculous to break out. Lumps on people's necks. That's not going to be a one-off occurrence. That's going to happen over and over and over again. We declare supernatural provision. The windows of heaven to open. As it says in the book of Isaiah chapter 43, we are declaring God is doing a new thing. It's a new beginning. It's a new day. Don't look back. Run in your lane. Run to win in Jesus' name. Come on, let's stand to our feet right now. God, we lift our hands right now as a moment of declaration. Oh, we don't want to be people that go into a year saying, well, let's see what happens. We don't want to go into this year just wishing for a few things, and if it happens, great. If it doesn't, oh well. God, we want to step into this year with the sense of we are winners in Jesus' name. This is our year. 2016 belongs to us because you first won on our behalf. The victory is ours in Jesus' name. But maybe you're here and you need to dust it off. This is Pastor Sam saying, dust it off. Dust it off. Dust it off. You know, there's stuff that's hanging on you. Stuff that's happened in 2015, maybe 2014, maybe years ago. You can't move forward while you're looking backwards. Some of you need to let it go. And right now, across this room, you need to actually determine, I'm going to let that go. That relationship situation, I can't fix it. I can't control it. I can't change it. I'm going to let it go. That financial situation, that issue in my business, that friend, I'm going to let it go and I'm going to step into the promises of God. 2016 is my year to run to win. But right now, I literally want some of you to dust it off. Come on, dust it off. Get it off you. Those things that are holding you back, those things that keep pulling you back to where you've been. Some hurt, some pain, some stuff that's taken place. Come on, it's coming off you right now. It's coming off you. We're not going to have weights on us anymore. We're going to step into all that God has for us. We're not going back. We're going to step into what God has. We dust it off. The second thing we're going to do right now is we're going to declare rather than wish. What's your lane? I'd love to do that, or I'd like, no, that's not what I asked. What's your lane? What is it that opens up for you time and time again? What are the opportunities that you just see come before you? Things where so often we get taken by almost like surprise, like, wow, that was incredible. Oh, that was a fluke that opened up for me. Oh, I just happened to meet this guy. I don't believe that anymore. I believe that God has ordered my steps. Therefore, He's going before me and He's opening doors and closing doors. He's introducing me to people and opening opportunities and doing things. And so now my eyes are wide open as I walk forward, believing for the promises of God in 2016. What about you? Come on, would you have the courage to say, this is my lane. I'm going to get out of somebody else's lane. Maybe you've been living there. I wish I was like them. Don't live in that lane. God has a unique purpose, gift for you. So right now, I'm going to have the band just sing. And as they sing, I want you, come on church, for a few moments, I want you to start to declare the purposes of God over your setting, over your workplace, over those things that you, the promises of God for you. Come on, start to declare. Come on, I want to hear you. Start to speak it out. Believe that this year is not going to be just a wish, a hope, but it's actually going to be a declaration. God, would you come through in this area? God, would you break through in that moment? God, would this year be the year of my health like never before? God,